Sorry about that.
She's got the wiper, Brother Dave.
The disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing. He was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose and they called him.
songs tonight. I love to hear a song. It makes me think. It gets me thinking. I like it when the song gets me to questioning, not so much God, but questioning myself, my service, my love, my devotion. Those songs are good. The first song that Miss Jessica sang, I don't know what the name of it was, but it talks about praying through the night. And I think sometimes we probably cut our prayers short in life. There's going to be some things that we're going to have to persevere and keep pushing through and keep praying for. Now, God's a God that can answer our prayers in one word, one sentence, one second. He can do that. But sometimes I believe that God puts us in a place to where we need to pray and be in a season of prayer, I guess some people would say. Some people don't like that, but sometimes there's going to be some times where you're going to have to pray about something for a long time. But God's timing is always right. Don't never forget that God's timing is always God. God is perfect in everything that He does. He's perfect. And sometimes I've questioned Him and I've wondered why this happens. How does this happen so soon or why so fast? Or, you know, I'm just human. I've questioned God on a lot of things in life. But I know that whatever He does, there's a purpose behind it. And sometimes we can't see that purpose. But I believe through prayer, God always shows us His will because He wants us to know His will, understand His will. And I got to thinking tonight about the verses we read today where we talked about that out of Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to tell you, I don't have a whole lot tonight, just a thought that God had put on my heart. And I always want to follow God, whether we're in here for 10 minutes or 10 hours, whatever we're in here for, we need to follow God. And He got me to thinking about that Ananias. When He had sent Ananias and give him in a vision, he was going to go talk to Paul. And he said, you know, I want you to talk to him and I want you to pray over him. And it got me to thinking, and I'd like for you to think tonight, church, about are we ready for when God wants us to go, where He wants us to go, when He wants us to go? You know, a lot of times we're ready to serve God as long as it's on our terms or it's convenient for us, right? I mean, that's me. I've been like that before when God says, well, go talk to Him, go call them. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, I'll do it when on my time, when I got time or when I get finished with this or whatever. But you know, sometimes I think we miss it sometimes when we don't do things when God wants us to. And, you know, I got to thinking about Ananias, and maybe God's put this on me. Maybe this is for me tonight, or maybe it's for you tonight. But church, I think we are to grasp a hold of this tonight in our Bibles, where He had a mission for Ananias. What if God has something for you this week to do? Would you be willing to do it? Are you ready to do it? You know, the Bible teaches us, Paul told Timothy, be instant in season, out of season. That means you'd be ready at all times for whatever God gives you, whether it's to minister in some way, to give in some way, to preach, to sing, to play a song. I mean, I believe it's in all aspects. We should always be ready when God's moving, that we should be ready to follow Him. And I wonder, would we be as obedient as Ananias was? What if God wanted us? What if God had something for us this week to go and pray for somebody? What if it was somebody that's been an enemy all your life? What if it was somebody that has mistreated you your life? Or maybe mistreated you at work. Maybe a family member. Maybe a neighbor. Somebody you ain't always got along with. But what if God wants to use you to reach them? Would you be willing to go? Could you say like Ananias did? And let's just read the verses as it goes along with it. Go back to Acts chapter number 9. We're going to go there and then I'm going to read you a few verses. Then we're going to talk about Ananias and we're going to go right into Paul and then I'll be done. I've got a thought on him. I struggled with the thoughts and I guess the Lord says just go with both of them. Can't go wrong if you stay in that Bible. Thank you for that. You can't go wrong if you stay in your Bible. Amen. There you go. Thank you. All right. Look where it says that in verse 10. Let's start reading it there. And there are certain decimal. I don't know where I'm at. I must be talking about math or something. Let's start all over. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For beholdeth, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, that's all of us, the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Then Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. When he prayed for him. And you know, it took a lot of faith that Ananias had that night, or that day, whenever it was, during the day or during the night. And I got to reading, we all know this verse, and I'm just going to read it because I'm afraid if I quote it, I'll misquote it, and the Word of God's too precious to mess up. He said in Hebrews 11:6, For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, it took faith of Ananias to do that, and it'll take some faith for you to serve God. God might send you some places this week, this month, maybe this year, of some places that He'd have for you to go. Would we be willing to go when God said go? Maybe it's right down the road. It might be an hour or two drive. Whatever it is, it might be something that inconveniences you for a little bit. Would you be ready to go for God when He says go? And not only that, what about where it is to go? What if it's trouble over there? What if it's a bad neighborhood? What if it's a place that has nothing to do with God? What if God says, that's where I want you to go? I don't know if you remember this, but I told this story probably a year or so ago. Brother Josh Adams, y'all know him, as precious Brother Josh is. He told this story about the Philippines. Y'all remember this, when most of those are all Muslim, the people over there are Muslim. And a young girl come through there. She wanted to sit in the church while they was having church, and the preacher was preaching. And the Muslim father, he come in there, and he grabbed his daughter, and he yanked her by the hair of the head, and drug her outside the church, all the way outside the church, in the middle of the church. And he looked up at that preacher, and he said, if you ever come to my village, and he said, if you ever come to try to reach my daughter again, he said, I'll cut your head off. And Brother Josh Adams said, they do. He said, their laws and everything, your government's way behind the times. He said, they'll kill people forever. Nobody ever come up. He said, they're just so punishing. So he said that a week or two passed by, and the church was talking about it, and the Lord started to deal with that preacher. And he said, I want you to go to that village and preach to them people. He said, that man, that preacher, he wrestled with it. He said, God, I know you were there. Didn't you see that man coming in and threatening me? He said, he'd kill me. He'd cut my head off. He killed me if I come to his image. And God said, I want you to go. I want you to go. And he said, all right, come up to the church. And his wife was sore up about it. And some of his church was sore up about it. And he said, church, I want you to pray with me all week. Kind of just take that praying through the night. Praying all week. And he said, if God's still healing me next week, I'm going to that village to talk with him. And he said, that preacher started going, and God told him to go, so he said, I'm going. So he got up one morning and he started to walk down the village. And he said, it was a long walk. He said, the Muslims were working out there in the field. And he said, they covered themselves, their arms, their face, everything, just a little place of breathing for their eyes. They didn't want to get any dark, so they covered their whole body. He said, as after working out in the fields, and they had these big old machines, and they were cutting cane and stuff, right working. And he said, I was walking through that village, and he said, I felt like in my body, that I stopped because I looked up and the man made eye contact with me. And all I could see was his eyes. And he stopped cutting and he looked at me. And he said, I froze. And he said, somehow I kept going. And he said, I kept walking. And I walked up and he said, that man, as I got close to that man, he started pulling that off. And that man that had threatened him said, his eyes were filled with tears. And he said, preacher, he said, tell me about that spirit that's in your church.
He said, I can't sleep, I can't eat, I can't do nothing going on. And he said, little did that preacher know that that's God had been praying all week. He said that God, on the way out to church when her daddy was dragging her by the hair of the head, she begged God to save her again. And God saved the little girl on the way out to church. And she prayed for her daddy and said, God, I want you to save my daddy. And that daddy had been in such conviction. But Josh said the eyes were just swollen on that man. He was just tears were pouring out. And he said he wrestled for a little while. That preacher sat down and he said, let me take you to the word of God. He said, demons set in. He was just wrestling. He was overwrought confusion. And he said, finally he prayed. And the man got saved. And he said, I want you to stay right here. He said, I'm the head of this village. I'm going to go around everybody up and I want you to preach about this Jesus to these people. And he said, if you need people in the get saved. And I'm telling you, I told a story. Y'all remember the story I told you about when the boys was praying? Isn't that a precious story? Amen. Of what God was already working. You see, it was the same way right there as Ananias was. He had already been working with Paul. He didn't show Paul. He said, there's a man named Ananias that's going to come and put his hands in. And he said, he's going to pray. And then after he did, he received his sight. Now let's get one thing straight. We in this faith movement, Ananias did not get him blind. Ananias did not fill him with the Holy Ghost. Ananias was just obedient and went when God said go and prayed. That's what Ananias did. I don't want nobody to get confused thinking Ananias had these healing powers. It's still God that does the healing. It's not me. Well, he went and prayed on him. And I got to thinking about that. What would we do if God sent us this week to go pray over someone? What about enemies we've had in life? Anybody ever had enemies in life? Am I the only one that's ever had enemies in life? Maybe people that mistreated you in your life, people that looked down on you, people that have laughed at you, talked about you. What if that's the one that God sends you to go reach this week? Would you be willing to go? Think of the impact it would do. We just read about faith, it's impossible to please God. If we don't have faith, we'll never serve God. It takes faith to serve God. And a lot of times when we get, overwhelmed with fear, we are just human beings. We fear does come in sometimes. But we've got to remember who our faith is in. It's in Jesus Christ. He has all power. And God's going to go ahead and start working out something for us. So don't worry. If God sends you somewhere this week to talk to somebody, I would be willing to just say that God is already working on their heart. That God's already getting them ready for what you got to do. I believe sometimes God just wants to make sure we're willing to do it. I'll never forget one time I had to go and talk to some of my family. They was doing a vacation Bible school. I'm going to be honest with you, it's my family, so I was nervous about talking to them about it, the way that they presented salvation, because I'm just an old past. I believe in salvation. So when God draws you, you get saved when you repent. It's just the way I believe the Bible. I believe what the Bible says. Well, this vacation Bible school program has some. It was all week, and I believe it was Wednesday, one of the days of the week. It said that the preacher will go around, and everybody will have a chance to make a decision on Christ. Not in life. It is a decision. While it is a decision to serve Christ, it is that. You still have to decide to do that, right? But it was taking it out where, well, you get a prayer to say, you say the prayer, and everything's good. That's not the case. That's not how you get saved. Jesus said it. Any man coming to me, the Father must draw him. There's got to be a draw for you to come to Jesus. That's what your Bible says. Don't let men's traditions and men's rituals and all that throw you into anything else. Stick with the Bible. That Bible will help you. And I got thinking about that when I had to go talk to him because I didn't want a child going nowhere. Now, this is family, granted. You know how sometimes it's easier to talk to a stranger than your own family about something? That's why I felt. And I thought, my goodness. I was nervous about talking. I was like, how's this going to happen? How's this going to work? What's going to come out of it? Is it going to be shouting? What's it going to be? And I got out and went up to the door. Knocked on the door and went inside and started talking. And I said, I need to talk to you about something. And it didn't go as I thought it would go. You know, sometimes you get ideas in there that this thing's going to be total chaos whenever it is. And then sometimes you start thinking, this thing's going to go so smooth. God's going to tell me it's going to go so smooth. Well, it wasn't a complete chaos, but it didn't go as smooth as I thought. So they got mad a little bit and started questioning some things. But while I was sitting in that house, I tell you, the peace of God just come over and shower upon me in such a way that I didn't think about nothing else. It was almost, I almost felt like it, and I'm not trying to say I'm special or anything like that, but it's almost like I felt that day God smiling on me for just being obedient. And when God says go, I want to go. When God says stay, I want to stay. When God says talk, I want to talk. And when God says be quiet, I want to be quiet. I want to have that discernment in my life. And I'm glad that Ann and I showed some examples right here that we need to have our faith in God. Now, I believe that Ananias was blessed after he did this. How do you know he's blessed? Because the person that he once feared became his brother in Christ. I believe they probably, ain't gonna tell him what they did to the glory of God after that day. They don't want to tell us a whole lot about it, but I know this, I believe that they would have done great things. But Paul, back to Paul, because Ananias being so obedient after Jesus had touched him, look at Paul. Let's stay in that ninth chapter, and then I'm gonna go and read you a verse out of three different books, how it all comes together. Bible says in chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, and he desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. Right? He wanted to persecute them. He wanted to kill them. He wanted to chain them up, lock them down. We see that once he got changed by Jesus, and I believe he was changed by Jesus, what he started to do after that, we know that Paul went from persecuting people, right, persecuting Christians. Next thing we hear about, he went to praying for Christians, how God changed him. Now I'm going to read you a verse here out of Philippians chapter 1. Excuse me, two verses. Alright, remember Paul, we just talked about him. He was slaughtered, he was threatened, right? He wanted letters, he desired that intensity that I told you about this morning. He wanted to kill Christianity and get them off the streets. Now look at what he did, he lined up with them, he wanted to help them. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number, let's start with verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. My goodness, what God did for Paul. He went from persecuting them to praying for them. And not only that, he said, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. Paul went from hating people to loving. He said, it's my joy to pray for you. My joy. Now let me read you another one. Colossians chapter 1. Alright, that was to the church of Philippi. Look at this church right here in Colossians. He said in verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. That's two different churches he prayed for. I'm going to read you one more. There's another church. Church of Thessalonica, Thessalonians. Paul said in 1 chapter 8 in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Making mention of you in our prayers. The things that Paul prayed about. He went from a work, right? Paul was always working. Paul was a lazy man. Paul went from absolutely just terrorizing people, bringing destruction, chaos, all that into people's life, to praying for them, loving them, helping them, telling them about Jesus. Praying for them. And that got me thinking about that, praying for them. Do we pray when people ask us to? Do we really pray when people ask us to? That's a question I ask myself. I hope it's a question you ask too when people say, pray for me. You know, some people, and I'm not looking down on nobody because I don't know if they pray or not. But a lot of times people always get that when they say, pray, we're praying for you. Are you really praying for people? When people ask you to pray for them, there's a need there that they want you to pray. They're trusting that you'll call out to God on their behalf. Do you pray for people? I take that seriously when people ask me to pray for them. Because I, in turn, when I ask people to pray for me, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me, and I want to pray for you. And it's important that when people ask us to pray that we do. Making mention of you in our prayers. What about with joy? Do we pray with joy? When things are going good for people and you see God blessing in people's lives, do we pray with that joy when maybe people are getting an extra blessings? Maybe when people get good reports? Are we praying for them? You know, we should be so thankful of God's grace and mercy in our church, of how He's building things, of how He's working things, of how He's answering prayer. You might say, well, it's hard for me to pray sometimes for other people. I've got a lot to pray for myself. There's no reason why we can't pray for other people. You need to pray for yourself. And let me tell you this too. Don't ever put a time frame on your praying. I think that's one of the worst things you can do is just say, well, I got a couple minutes to pray. No, actually, you got 24 hours to pray. That's what you got. And it starts all over. Keeps going. Right? The Bible doesn't teach you that you have to always be on your knees to pray. I believe that's one of the best places you can be to pray, because I believe it humbles yourself when you do that. The Bible doesn't say you have to be on your knees to pray. Matter of fact, all the ancient customs said this too when you pray. I believe you stand when you pray. I believe you can kneel when you pray. I believe that you can drive when you can pray. I believe you can walk when you can pray. I believe you can do a lot of things while you pray. Paul said that when you pray, you have a prayer on your heart. We should never cease to put praying. There should always be something that we need to pray about. Something about us, somebody else we see going through. And if nothing else, praying to be thankful for what God has done for us. It can always be worse in our life, I promise you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you know somebody else is going through in your life, it can always be worse. Boy, God's shown me good to us, has He not?
Amen.
God's been good to us, families, church. And you might say, well, preacher, you don't know. We battle cancers and we battle all this in our church. We battle diseases. We battle homes breaking up. We battle kids being lost. We've had a lot of stuff passed through our family. We've lost nephews, nieces, months old, years old, passed on. We've lost people in our lives passed on. We've had kids go through surgeries. When we got together, we was poor as dirt. God's always been good to us. I'm glad God's love is free and it costs nothing. Boy, He puts a clothes on our back, food on our table, and shelter over our head. And I try not to ever forget that, what God's done for me in my life. Okay. Let's all stand together.
Has anybody got anything on your heart tonight before we dismiss?
I think I've got something I want to say about what you said.
Yes, ma'am.